Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Here I am at Akershus Castle in Oslo, so Oslo, Norway. I don't know when it was built, obviously an early medieval castle controlling the harbour. There's more or less where Oslo started. You can see converted warehouses over there, and the yellow we're building is the Peace Museum from that Nobel Foundation for Peace. It was only taken once, and that's when Germany conquered it in April 1940, 17th of April, surrendered in one day. And so the German Navy sailed up the fjord, and there was some sort of naval fortress with guns that could sink them or weren't sure whether it was a hostile ship or not. Germany hadn't actually declared war, did they even fire or not? But there's still a real army base, so soldiers around. Remember last time I was here, I saw sort of a 7 foot tall sailor, and then a helicopter landed, like there. Very few times in my life I've seen helicopters land. So very significant in the history of Norway, this place. And Vidkun Quisling had himself proclaimed minister president here in 1942, but the German governor didn't hand over power, even theoretically, aware that Quisling was not popular amongst the population. So looking at this cannon here, and looking at this face, it looks like Napoleon with a laurel wreath, saying like Christian the VII, King of Norway, and so on. Look at the laurel wreath around him. And then I noticed this little feature. Do you see the handles? They're like birds, like beaks you put your hand on. Okay. So yeah, I would love to go on a harbour cruise if there's more time and money and all the rest of it. But you can see it was extensively remodeled, made taller in more modern era. And they put in the big windows because, of course, it would no longer had really a military function by the 19th century because cannon was so powerful. You would never have big windows in the Middle Ages. Partly glass was very expensive. The other thing is you don't want the enemy to be able to fire through it, climb through it, things like that. And obviously by the 20th century you could bomb it from the air. There was still an army base, still had some military purpose, but it wasn't, you know, almost impregnable as it had been in the Middle Ages. And then I believe some Norwegian resistance fighters exited by firing squad here in the Second World War. Vidkun Quisling met the same fate shortly after the liberation in May 1945, the last person executed by Norway. I don't know if anybody else was executed even in the 20th century. It's reading what they used to do in the Middle Ages, leave people on these little rocks at low tide and then tied up, and high tide would come in and drown them. So there's an open air theatre here. Watch out, the police have heard I'm here, so let's make a quick getaway. See these round towers. The thing about round towers is if you're going to knock it down, the best place to start knocking it down is the corner. If it's round, it doesn't have a corner. Right. So yeah, the sun turned a bit dark and you can see breezy. So I'm worried about because there's going to be a shower coming along. And that's it, all these catamarans going back and forth. I don't know if they're for little pleasure cruises or is that practical transport. There's a metro system. Huge barn-like buildings over there. I noticed so many of the barns are painted red, and so many clapboard houses. They build out of wood here. I think how does that keep it warm enough? I thought you'd need a combination of the two. So Norway wasn't a wealthy country until they struck oil in the 1970s. A lot of them used to emigrate, particularly to Canada and the United States. Of course, they were the first Europeans to get there. In goodness, was it the 10th century AD? Vinland, but then that knowledge was forgotten. Eric the Red and all the others. Okay, anything else I want to tell you about Akershus Castle? So I suppose this was outside the castle walls originally. and then Norway, well, grew partly through immigration in the late 20th century. There we go, from all over, particularly Somalia, Eritrea, India, Pakistan, China. You know, Eastern Europe like Poland, Romania, Slovakia and so forth. And they're excellent football, and particularly the women's team. So one of the most feminist countries in the world. They had that woman who's prime minister in the early 90s, I don't remember her name. And they've had like 50% of the Storting has been women. The Labour Party has dominated politics for a long time. So quite centrist. I don't understand how their model works. You know, the Scandinavian social democratic model of high taxes, high regulation, but somehow steady economic growth. And all these high welfare payments, you think, wouldn't people just not bother to work? And I did have a Norwegian colleague, and he told me that was the case. And beyond that, That was a more modern military base. Anyway, wouldn't want to be here in winter, but seeing it in bloom. They've got polar bears in the north, reindeer, they're the Lapps in very northern Norway. They've got Svalbard, that island which is well north of the Arctic Circle, which somehow they shared with Russia, I don't understand. They were found a member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, so I guess because they border the Russian Federation, but two more different countries could scarcely be imagined. So they had full democracy, more or less, from independence in 1905. Managed to have cordial relations with all their neighbours. So, previously the Swedes were trying to say that Norwegian was really a dialect of Swedish. I know they're all derived from Old Norse. And look at this horse chestnut tree. I don't think I've ever seen quite so many candles. Look how close they are. By candles, I think these things, I don't know what the scientific name for it is. I am no arborist. You know, a tree is just a tree to me, really. Anyway, might be the last visit I paid in Norway. Much though I like it, that's kind of enough. And getting a whiff of all the plants. So really long hours of daylight. I remember last time I came here, that's 20 years ago, flying back from Torp Airport about 10:30 at night. It was still as bright as noon, but unfortunately not getting much of that. Okay, it's not exactly cold. It's not started raining yet. And then you see some more modern buildings in the castle. And yeah, there was that open air show there, but they might well have been doing it in Norwegian. And my Norwegian's not too good. Did get some words, like on the train saying, Naksta Stasia Har, so next station is. Bern, as in child, like the Scots word Bern. I know Med is with. What else is it? Stop. The other ones, which are just easily guessable from English. Vindu, as in window. I know Tak is thanks. There you see, on towards the Great Hall, there's a little chapel in there for the Church of Norway, worship as in, that's a reformed church. The Reformation managed not to be too bloody here. So there were pagans until, was it the 10th century AD? But some people say that Christianity remained skin deep. So all Norwegian boys have to do military service, and girls can volunteer if they like. So I can't remember their king's name. The guy in his 80s is not very well, and his son, Crown Prince Haakon, is married to a woman who has a child from a previous relationship, which is a little bit controversial. They got married like 25 years ago or something. I'm glad they've left the whatever it's called. They've left the cobblestone. Because I've been told by someone that if you do this right, it'll last for centuries, way longer than tarmac out of the more modern surface materials. There we go. Ooh, looks like the cipher of a bishop. I'm seeing, is that meant to be a, I thought it was meant to be a mitre rather than a crown. Maybe I'm wrong above this door. Is that a crown? And look, somebody's initials above the door, intertwined. And a different ones above this guard box here. So stand out of the wind and the rain if you're on duty as a soldier. Anyway, perhaps there's enough of Akershus Castle. You get the idea. All right, thanks everybody. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Seems like we can't get into the actual castle. Toodaloo.